We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Show. Can everyone involved in this Deshaun Watson decision, the NFL, the Cleveland Browns, and Deshaun Watson and his representatives, can they just shut the hell up, please?
I bet you there's a few people out there listening who wish we'd shut the hell up about it.
Well, hell, I mean, we're on a damn radio. We got two more hours. I'd lose my job if I shut up. No, hell no. It's the biggest story of the damn day and hell of the last few weeks. I'm shutting up about it. Hell. All three parties are making major, major mistakes every time somebody shoves a mic in their face. And, hell, they're putting themselves in position to have a mic shoved in their face every time I turn around. Show, I'm going to start. I'm going to call an audible here. And I'm going to start with ownership of the Cleveland Browns. All right? If you're just now tuning in, Deshaun Watson has received an 11-game suspension along with a $5 million
fine.
He's got to complete counseling that's going to be directed by a professional outside, a third party, if you will. And there's so many different layers to this that we're going to try to get into each one of them throughout the show here. It's unbelievably fascinating, even though we are exhausted with Deshaun himself and the stories. But this is a day when this stuff is unbelievably fascinating. But the news comes down and everybody has spoke. And Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns. I'm gonna read this from Tom Pelissero. I heard the audio, but I'm gonna read this from Tom Pelissero's Twitter account. Would the Browns owner Jimmy Haslam make the Deshaun Watson trade again today? He answers absolutely, and says he believes in second chances. Quote: Is he never supposed to play again? Question: Is he never supposed to be a part of society? Mentions Kareem Hunt's second chance and says that worked out well. And then he's not done yet. This is Mike Garofalo. He goes on to say about Deshaun Watson and about him getting an 11-game suspension along with ultimately being able to play football again. This is the owner of the Browns. You can say that's because he's a star quarterback. Well, of course. But if he was Joe Smith, meaning Joe Nobody, he wouldn't be in the headlines every day. We think people deserve a second chance. Now, there were several things that Jimmy and D, his wife, said, by the way, that are circulating on social media that are very, very suspect. But, Show, I thought Jimmy's comments about at this moment about Kareem Hunt and how they gave him a second chance and it worked out, about how Deshaun Watson deserves a second chance and how Deshaun Watson, if he weren't a star quarterback, obviously wouldn't be getting this opportunity. Not that it's not true.
Out there keeping it real, Jimmy.
Yeah, look. Not that it's not true. We all understand that. But how bad of a look is that the owner of the Cleveland Browns seems to be stepping further off in the mess as we go along here?
He is not alone in this. He is not alone in making himself look bad. I don't know what possessed him to say it. It makes me wonder again, did we sit down? I know that they didn't find out when we all found out that Deshaun was what the suspension was going to be. You would think they come together All right, Jimmy, we didn't really do great the last time. Let's get some talking points and let's just stick right here and say the same thing over and over again. Let's just say the same. Let's say the same thing. Let's get to our points. Let's not go off and get it, you know, and get creative. Then have some, and then he did, and he brought in Kareem Hunt. Look at these. We're about second chance. Yeah, he's a star quarterback. You're damn right. If it was AJ McCarron, no, we wouldn't give him another chance.
Think about how you talk about read the room, right? You used to use that phrase all the time. I love it, right? I mean, at what point in the Deshaun Watson situation, at any point when you're, I don't care who it is it a good idea to bring up Kareem Hunt? Whether you're the guy that gave him the second chance or not, if you're on the side of the fence here that needs Deshaun Watson to play, you just paid him $230 million. I mean, who in their right mind brings up Kareem Hunt?
Especially for your guy who is maintaining his innocence.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Kareem, so in a moment where, like, the response about Deshaun Watson in the NFL for over a year now has consisted of comments and statements about, man, the NFL, if you're good enough, they'll let you damn near do anything. It's all based on how good of an athlete you are, how good of a player you are, how big of a name you are. You can get away with damn near anything. Knowing that that's the case, how does the owner of the Cleveland Browns shape his mouth to say, yeah, if Deshaun Watson was an average Joe, we wouldn't have gave him $230 million.
Of course,
he wouldn't be getting this opportunity. He wouldn't be in the headlines.
This is why the other owners hate him.
Oh, man. I mean, it's just like, just get the hell out of here, man. What are we doing? And apparently, I haven't heard the audio, but apparently Jimmy Haslam's wife, Dee Haslam, apparently she stepped off in it too with some comments about what everybody needs to focus on.
She was the strong one last time.
I mean, come on, it's an absolute mess. Well, there's two more parties involved in this Watson decision, and I'll just revisit a couple of them because David Mulugeta, the agent of Deshaun Watson, he immediately tweeted right after the judgment came down, and this is David Mulugeta's tweet, which he since deleted, by the way. To be clear, Judge Robinson repeated the NFL's narrative. She received a brief from the NFL weeks before we had the opportunity to talk to her. In our first call with the judge, she referred to Deshaun's pattern of behavior. Her mind was made up before we ever presented a counter. Now, he since deleted that, and I think Deshaun Watson and his representation are going to do everything. If people don't like them talking, you might as well get used to it, because they're going to do everything they can to somewhat salvage and even repair Deshaun Watson's representation moving forward. But this is a major, major mistake. This is a major mistake
horrible
by David.
Timing.
This is a bigger than just why is Deshaun Watson's representation speaking. That's why I don't think he deleted it because he didn't like what he was saying. I think he deleted it because usually when you settle, you can't openly publicly discuss the details of the case. That is openly discussing the details of the case. The NFL sent her a brief weeks before they had the opportunity to talk to her, and then she was talking about Deshaun's pattern of behavior before the first call with the judge, she referred to Deshaun Watson's pattern. Those are details that I would imagine legally in a settlement that you're not – now, I don't know if anybody's going to push back on it, but legally I don't think you can get away with giving those kind of details – about the case. I'm talking about a year from now or in the moments after the judgment drops.
That's what I'm saying is, like, y'all sat down, negotiated this, settled this.
And nobody
said that. You had to be one of the folks in there involved in this.
Yeah.
And you come right out and you taking a shot at Sue L. Robinson.
Yeah.
And let's just be honest, from my standpoint, I think you guys got away pretty good.
Yes, Deshaun won.
And it is almost as if, this wasn't good enough. Yeah. And maybe it wasn't, but man, right after it.
It's wild, man. It's wild. And the third party.
Doesn't it seem like David Mulugeta is the guy that had to go get somebody that did what he did? Like, doesn't it seem like David Mulugeta is the guy who had to call somebody? You would think, all right, somebody in the camp did it. But it feels like David Mulugeta would have had been the person to pick up the phone
and be like, hey, man,
you got to take that down.
Yeah.
It was him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody had to call David.
Yeah. I mean, it's
like Rusty had to get on the horn.
This surprised me that it came from David Mulugeta, no question. But nonetheless, it did. And again, I think at this point in time, your point in the crosstalk with Landry and Lopez earlier was everybody just shut the hell up. Which I mean, I think right now that is the best advice anybody can take. The third party here, the NFL. The NFL is the big loser in this situation. And Tony Busby, I think, pointed it out very, very clearly. We'll get to that later in the show. Tony Busby, the attorney for the 20-some-odd, I don't know how many plaintiffs there were at this point. I think there was 26, and one of them dropped. Anyway, the attorney that was representing the women in the Deshaun Watson case, he spoke and has spoken directly to the NFL and Roger Goodell, and it's very, very interesting, and I believe he's spot on, but here's why. Roger Goodell, remember, I don't know, maybe a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, hell, I don't know how long ago it was, but Roger Goodell, recently, Roger Goodell, and this was not in a press conference setting. Hell, I'll tell you where it was. It was at the owners' meeting when they announced that the Browns were purchased by one of the Walmart heirs, right?
The Broncos?
Who'd I say?
The Browns.
The Broncos. I'm sorry. The Broncos were purchased by one of the Walton families, one of the Walton, the Walmart heirs, and they had an impromptu. When that happens, you have an owners' meeting. At that owners' meeting, not in a press conference setting, Roger Goodell was approached by some reporters and asked some questions, and he was asked about Deshaun Watson. Now, this was after Judge Sue L. Robinson had released a 16-page, I believe it was 16-page, I guess it matters what you're viewing it on, but a 16-page report about her findings on Deshaun Watson when she suspended him for 6 games. This is what Roger Goodell had to say immediately following that news dropping.
Why go back to seeking the full year suspension?
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
In a way that's responsible. If you heard the question, it was why go back to a year suspension in terms of what you think Deshaun Watson should deserve? That was after they appealed Judge Sue Ellen's, is it Sue Ellen Robinson?
Sue L. Robinson.
Sue Ella, what is it? That's Pretty Willie, Sue Ella. Sue L. Robinson. After he appealed, he came out and said that they were going to go for a full-year suspension. Nonetheless, my point is, if Roger Goodell wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't have a problem with 11 games right now. And I don't think anybody, let me check up. I'd have some comments about it, but it wouldn't look as fishy. Because Roger Goodell opened his mouth saying that right there, before the actual suspension dropped on Deshaun Watson, the NFL looks silly as hell. They look more silly than they would. Let's put it that way. They look a lot more silly today when they dropped 11 games on Deshaun Watson than they would have had Goodell not made those comments. Goodell makes those kind of comments and then comes back, negotiates with Deshaun Watson, the guy that's a predator and his actions are egregious and that he deserves a year. He negotiates and the guy ends up getting 11 games. It's a bad day for the NFL, show.
Yeah, to me, we had Florio on, and that was something I did want to talk to him about yesterday. We had Florio on, and he said, like, this isn't uncommon that a player, that players negotiate, and many times when you see a player that doesn't, you know, appeal, that's been settled. It was just something about the fact that Sue L. Robinson says she felt like he wasn't honest with her. She felt like it was egregious behavior. And then as you played there, Roger Goodell saying that it was predatory behavior. Just that they would publicly let it be known that they're negotiating with him. God, maybe even if you are, why is it so?
The whole thing's botched. The whole thing is botched. I mean, because
that's the first thing I'm thinking. It's like, hell, if you're saying he's doing that, what the hell are you negotiating?
It's like these dudes are incompetent and like nobody's communicating. Like, Roger, you don't stop and beat your chest if you're going to then pass the buck on to Peter C. Harvey to make the decision. And don't do it if you're going to negotiate with the guy behind closed doors and give him 11 games. Like, it just none of it makes sense.
I remember covering Kareem Hunt. Right? I remember when that came down. I never, ever at one point heard Kareem Hunt's representation. You know what? They've offered up 7 games and that they'll pay a fine of $3 million. Yeah. It was Kareem Hunt gets 12 games. Boom. Oh, damn. Okay. And he's been released from the team. Like, that's what it was. There was, maybe there was negotiations there. But this thing has been public. You got Deshaun up here offering last week. All right, man, we'll go eight games.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Okay. All right. That was just an interest.
Hey, Omaha.
All right, so one thing with the Watson decision coming down the line here, the timeline is very, very interesting. This suspension marks the first game that Deshaun Watson will play as the Cleveland Browns quarterback is going to be here in Houston at NRG Stadium. Here's the timeline. The suspension for Deshaun Watson starts August the 30th, which is when the final NFL roster cuts are made. So he can practice today up until August the 30th with the football team. They've already announced that he's not going to play in any preseason games, but he can practice with the team. All right, August 30th is the date that he's got to go. He's allowed to return. This is where it gets interesting to me. He's allowed to return to the Browns facility and participate in limited activity on October the 10th, which is basically an opportunity for him to have a ramp-up period for them to make sure that he gets in shape and make sure he doesn't, when he does his full go, he doesn't hurt himself. Okay, so that's October the 10th. He's allowed to resume practice with the Browns November the 14th, which that's very interesting to me. I thought that he was could not be at the facility until he's reinstated, essentially, right? But no, he's going to be able to practice. Earlier, I misspoke. I said 4 weeks. It's actually 3 weeks, I guess, 3 weeks and some change. He's going to be able to practice with the Browns from November the 14th on. The first game that he's able to come back is December 4th versus the Texans. I thought that we're sitting there going, he's going to come down here and get dropped in NRG Stadium after practicing 3 days with the team. He may not even play. But now that I see that part of these details, the timeline is he's going to be able to resume practice November the 14th. He's going to be in the facility October the 10th. I mean, there's no question he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns the day December the 4th when they play the Texans right here in
even
NRG.
If they're 9-0, even if they're 11-0,
don't matter one bit. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's
nothing's keeping four off the field. He's not going to be as rusty as people think he's going to be because he's going to be in. He will have been in. Think about that. He will have been in the Cleveland Browns facility damn near 2 months. The day he starts with the right here in NRG. So him being rusty, yeah, he hadn't game time. Yes. But he will be getting practice after practice, and he will get reps. And, hell, I'd like to be a fly on the wall to see how the Cleveland Browns actually get him reps on the other field with a 16-man practice squad over there.
I need Cheryl to find out how many days it's going to be in between games. In between games.
You hear that, Cheryl? Get on it.
Get on that. All right. The Astros, they've beaten the dog out of the White Sox today. They're going to even this series unless something crazy occurs. Two guys, one guy trying to make me shut the hell up, and another guy is rounding into form. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
It's this ball high and deep. If it stays fair, he's got a career high in RBIs. It is a two-run home run for Breggy. What a day for Alex Bregman. Two home runs, career high six. runs batted in, and the Astros now lead 12-3.
Yeah, a big day from the entire offense, but led by Alex Bregman, as they are through seven in Chicago. Everybody just wants this damn thing.
They still
be over.
Playing
13-5 now. 13-5. Bregman three for four, a walk, two homers, six RBIs, 3-for-5. Yuli in the two spot.
Oh, Yuli in the two hole.
Yuli in the two hole. Oh, I've accepted.
Don't you come around. You keep bumping them gums about Yuli. I mean, the more you talk, the better he does. It's 8-game hitting streak, isn't it? Or is that the seven?
Got to put another one on. Okay. You all better hope it.
Well, what's he got to do? I tried to get it out of you last time, and you didn't want to give me any numbers. You just wanted to make a statement and run. What does he have to do for you to go okay? Because you were damn near here with Bregman at one point. Bregman's clearly making things happen now. So what does Yuli have to do?
What'd you say? Continue hitting 300.
I said if he hits 300 over how many games? I mean, how many games? Or he's got to do it the rest of the year?
I mean, sure. Can we try to do something to come close to match what he's given us for the first 4 months of the season?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
If he hits 300, and I'll go back to whenever we had that last conversation when he started this hitting streak right here. If he hits 300 the rest of the way, I need a Yuli apology.
Sure. Okay. I'll give you.
You're so disgusted right now.
I'm not disgusted. No reason to have to give it.
Yeah, you will. I'm just telling you.
Yuli, we'll see. Yeah, Yuli rolling through. We'll see where he is. But no, good for him. Three hits. There is still no reason him in the two hole. But good for him. The Astros. We were asking for the bats.
Yeah.
Needed the bats to come around, and they have today to the tune. What is it? Everybody. Is like we're going to a place where people are coming in, sitting down. They didn't got Jordan's ass up out of there, right? We got folks coming in. Of course, Trey Mancini doesn't get to get all his at bats. He's been pitch hit for as a damn DH.
No, we're gonna rest him. We're gonna rest Mancini.
He can't even get all his at bats as a DH.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. No,
who hates Trey Mancini?
Know you're gonna try. This is dusty, bro.
Well, it has to be, I would think.
I mean,
how the hell does he not get all his at bats today? Why does he need to get hit? Why does he need to get? Listen, Altuve's still out there.
Is he?
Yuli's still out there. Bregman's still out there. Pena's still out there. Vasquez is still out there. Hell, Chaz is in there. He just switched over so they get Alvarez out.
Maybe there's some good Italian food in Chicago Mancini needs to go check out.
It's getting there. He's DHing.
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you.
Mancini.
I think this is going to turn into a real conversation with the Astros, and I didn't want it to. The catcher situation is going to get hairy.
It's going to get hairy with fans, but it's not going to get hairy in the
– I don't know.
I don't think anybody has one. Hell, it didn't get hairy last year. And I mean, and Castro was clearly, had big hits, clearly doing stuff. But you remember when, what was it, Maldonado threw somebody out in the ALCS?
They're not going to have a choice but to acknowledge it, man. I agree with you. I'm not a move Maldonado guy at all either. But every time I look down, whether he's coming off the bench and pitching or he's starting, Vasquez is getting hit. Now, it's nothing sexy now. Going with the pitch to right. I mean, man, Vasquez is hitting 284.
They're not budging.
Is that with the Astros or is that overall?
Overall. They're not budging. Maldonado's not going in. We're going to start all these puppies.
I mean, the only guy with a better average than and by the way, Albert, before people start talking about, well, he's a backup catcher. No. Him and Maldonado had started damn near the same amount of games when the trade went down. He's a starting catcher in this league. I mean, that's a legit 285, 284. I mean, the only guy hitting better than Alvarez. How do you justify leaving that on the bench for 3 out of 4 games?
Because of what they value from Maldonado.
That wasn't a serious question.
I don't know. How am I supposed to take it?
I'm just telling you, I'm not saying bench Maldonado, and I understand why Maldonado's out there, but I mean, damn. Vasquez is going to make it hard for them to keep ignoring it.
Well, I listen. They won't check up, but it will be if they start going through some issues in the postseason and they're struggling scoring runs and Vasquez is on the bench and Maldonado is hitting the way he normally does, it certainly probably will be a question.
Damn.
So like, for you, so you said you're not a Maldonado guy, but you brought it up.
How would you
want to see the catcher situation handled? You brought it up.
No, I don't. I like, it depends on who's pitching. I'm just telling you it's not I'm not in the clubhouse. I understand that Maldonado studies and is as good a defensive catcher and a game caller as you're going to find. I have no idea, if I'm being completely honest, I have no idea like where Vasquez ranks relatively speaking, right? I mean, I know he's less of a defensive catcher when it comes to, but he's not bad. Like, I don't know if he's a guy that just says to hell with studying, we're going to just pitch whatever pitch you want.
Kyler Murray.
I don't know if he's Kyler Murray or is he more Maldonado. I have no idea. But all I'm saying is I believe the day, a lot like the Mancini stuff, like, I believe that there is an Astro arrogance of, like, this lineup, when it comes crunch time, is going to be lights out. And I think when you take Springer, Correa, Brantley, now, again, I know Yuli's coming on, but Yuli's not who he was last year. Like, when you start taking those back, like, I don't know how long you're going to be able to go, oh, yeah, I'll take a sub-200 hitter in center field. Yeah. I'll take a sub-200 hitter behind the plate. Yeah, I just don't know how long you're going to be able to do that.
I'm with you, and I hear you. And I'm cool with them saying Maldonado is a sub-200 hitter we're going to accept. But to me, you just can't keep – like somebody, you got to get Mancini in there somewhere to offset some of it.
Agreed.
And I can understand, like, the catcher is one of the most important defensive positions on the field. I think the three up the middle, catcher, shortstop, and center field are the three most important. So I get that. But to the other point is you gotta give him some days off. I mean you got to offset this with the guys in your lineup that have better things. You gotta take some away. If that's in left field, if you don't have the best defensive person you have out there absolutely available to you in left field, you gotta take a little bit a defense away. You got to do that, but you can't. I'm with you. You can't have Maldonado, Chaz, Myers, and Yuli all out here. I know you say Yuli's coming on, but have them all out there.
Yeah, I mean,
all four of them in the lineup.
Yeah,
you can't. Not to mention Payne.
The only way you can is if that's the only option you have. And I'm just saying, like, at some point, if Vasquez continues to go out there and hit 284. And playing once every four games, it's like at some point I think there's going to be a decision. And by the way, goes out there and catches Jose Urquidy, and Jose Urquidy throws the best game of his career. So clearly he's not terrible at calling games, or whatever their process is enough to make up for the Maldonado factor in there. So I think this lineup's going to be fine. I do believe that Maldonado is the best way to go.
I think this,
but
lineup
I'm just
has
as the, I watch these guys play, as I watch Vasquez show, I don't know how, as a staff, with this dude consistently being on base and having the second highest average on the damn team, how you don't at some point go, whew.
I think this lineup has a chance to be fine if they give this lineup and the order the best that it can be. I think it has a chance. But if you're going to be sitting guys like Trey Mancini, who you traded for, that makes sense. I just don't understand why he couldn't get all his at-bats at DH today. I don't get. I mean, he's missed games. I guess hell, two in a row. unless he's got an injury of some sorts. I don't understand it. I don't understand that. That's just ridiculous. All right, join us tomorrow. We'll have us a good time. Giveaways, hookups, and everything. We'll be at Tupelo's in Spring for Miller Lite Football Friday. It's coming tomorrow from 2 to 6. We probably hang out a little bit later than that. And hang out with the fellas. Myself, Clint will be out there. You can come on the screen to look at Tyler. He'll make his way on that screen. So come hang out with us tomorrow. We'll have a good ass a good ass time, as we always do.
Good thing is McCullers will be pitching.
He is versus the Braves.
That first pitch is 6:20. So you can come out there if you want to come out at the beginning. We'll be there. You can be good and sauced by the time that first pitch happens, or you can come out midway, hang with us for a few, and then catch a few of the Astros innings right there as the first pitch is at 6:20.
And
so,
no reason to leave. And make sure hell when you do leave,
Texans.
Yeah, the Texans come a little bit later. The Texans, they're going to take on the Rams tomorrow night while we're out at Tupelo's in Spring as well. And Texans countdown gets started at 6 p.m. So if you're rolling, it's presented by Modelo. If you're rolling, you can listen to Seth and Sean. And then afterwards, as soon as the game hits them zeros, as soon as it ends, the Texans postgame show at right after the game with Seth and Clint Sterner, who has a late night ahead of him. So
yeah, I'll take it back to my old days, man. Them old 3 a.m. nights, come on.
We got a lot. All right, a lot of people have made comments and statements. You didn't think Tony Busby wasn't going to get in on this, did you?
OTB.
Well, wait till you hear what Tony Busby, the attorney for the ladies who filed the lawsuits against Deshaun Watson, wait till you hear what he's got to say. You'll hear that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, as we are here and the story of the day, and there does feel like there is potentially, or at least kind of, some sense of finality to this, where Deshaun Watson finally, it's been now decided 11 games that he is suspended, and he'll be back and ready to go week 13 against the Houston Texans. So that's the game that he comes back. But 11 games, $5 million is what he has is what his punishment or his suspension will be. And Clint, we've heard from a lot of people. We've heard from Deshaun himself. We've heard from his agent and David Mulligetta and Tony Busby. For some reason now, it just won't pull up. My goodness alive, his comments from Tony Busby. Damn it. Tony Busby, he did speak as well. That really makes me mad. I hate electronics at that gummit. But he did speak, but he came after Roger Goodell really, really hard. Tyler, if you find that,
I thought you meant you had it. My bad.
I don't. I just for some of the comments he made coming right after the commissioner, Roger Goodell, Tony Busby said that he feels like with the decision that he made today that he being Roger Goodell is the rhetoric that he was talking about, saying that Deshaun Watson was a predator, was all full of, quote, baloney. And also,
I got it.
Do you have it?
By settling this matter the way he has, Roger Goodell has proven one of two things. Either his recent rhetoric was utter baloney, or his bark is much worse than his bite. My belief is that he is nothing more than a paper tiger. The message today to all victims is clear. If you believe you've been sexually assaulted by a powerful person, keep your mouth shut and go away. The NFL has certainly demonstrated that its ownership and the organization's doesn't care. To all sexual assault survivors, do not allow this recent punishment to deter you. Keep speaking up and keep speaking out. Your voice matters. You are making a difference. We stand with you. So I'm going to tell you, I 100% agree with Tony Busby as it pertains to Roger Goodell. I think it was a major mistake for Roger Goodell to speak up and speak out publicly and aggressively about Deshaun Watson and about what kind of suspension he would recommend or that he's shooting for, the NFL is shooting for. Because if it didn't land on that particular discipline or suspension, he was going to get blowback. It was going to look absolutely terrible. And he had the opportunity after he spoke, after he stuck his chest out, after he talked about what Deshaun Watson deserved, he had the opportunity to drop the hammer and give him a year, make it indefinite, make him apply for reinstatement in the summer, and make a decision then if he wanted to let him back in. And he decided not to do it. He decided to pass the buck. And then it becomes public knowledge that he is negotiating with Deshaun Watson and the NFL Players Association to come to a resolution before he allows the guy that he appointed the designee that he appointed to make a decision, he was trying to settle. The NFL was trying to settle with Deshaun Watson, and he ends up getting 11 games, which it's more than just six games less than a full season. There's a lot of stipulations here where Deshaun can be at the facility, he can practice, he can. I mean, it's significantly less than a full season. And I agree with Busby. They look plumb ass silly at this point because the commissioner spoke up out of turn, and because of what they ultimately decided on Deshaun and the process in which they botched on how they got there.
Those scoring at home, I did finally get it. it has come up, but no, I mean he came at Roger pretty hard. I mean, said his name, didn't mince any words, talking about his bark is much worse than his bite, and the belief is that he is nothing more than a paper tiger, right? And did putting it on him to all victims, calling out as letting everybody know, hey, we'll stand with you because the NFL won't. It just makes you wonder, like, Tony's been quiet here. And is Tony completely done?
No.
Here, it makes you wonder: is Tony gearing up for something else? Because I would think this has pissed Tony off. I mean, this is what Tony is saying in a statement. No telling how he's really feeling, how steaming he potentially was, and the women that he represents are. We've talked about, could the NFL at large be the real thing he's trying to go after? Well, this could help him set that up, right? To go for more than just, all right, I'll be done with it. All right, the Texans, they settled with things. Deshaun has settled. I don't know, man. This would make me wonder if I'm the NFL, if Tony Busby is finished.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL's in a bad spot. Look, if they'd have pushed Deshaun too hard, the Players Association and Deshaun Watson's representation was gonna push, at least threaten to push, a federal lawsuit. Wouldn't change Deshaun's suspension, but it would cause major problems for Roger Goodell and the NFL and whatever owners they wanted to pursue. And now, because you end up going what's perceived to be too light, based off what Tony Busby knows, you're going to get a mess storm from his direction. So, look, either way it goes, the NFL was going to get hammered. Either way it goes, because of the way they've handled business. They made the bed, they've got to sleep in it, right? That I knew that was coming. Whether it was too many games or too few games, somebody was going to come after them, and so that was going to happen. The most egregious, since everybody's throwing that word around, the most egregious of it all is the botching of the process by the NFL. In my opinion, I mean, for what it's worth, like, these guys make way too much damn money to be speaking out publicly while these kinds of decisions are being contemplated and decided upon behind closed doors. And no matter what I've said it from the jump, they were between a rock and a hard place. No matter what they did, they were going to get major, major pushback, major blowback. And I think it's going to come in the way of Tony Busby. And I don't think Tony's going to be the only one pushing back in not in defense of, but almost in representation for the plaintiffs in this situation.
Yeah. Clint Sterner on the show, Tyler Milner producing this. So the Browns go after Jimmy G? Where they are right now that we know what it is. Now we know it's 11 games. We've heard Clint,
yeah,
six or more, mm-hmm, they may make a run after him. We heard Florio say if it's under 12, they may stick with what they got. Right now they sit there with Jacoby Brissett as their starter, Josh Dobbs as their backup, and the great, who's that guy that killed Texas A&M? Killed Texas A&M for UCLA.
Oh, that's when A&M had the walking Rosen stick, wasn't it?
What's
yeah,
his name?
Josh Rosen.
I don't want to say it again.
I don't remember. What's his name? I can't get
Josh Rosen.
Oh, that's it. Josh Damn Rosen.
Was that when old boy broke out the walking stick to Pimp Kane on the sideline? And then while y'all were kicking ass.
That
and
year,
then they came, yeah.
Yeah.
I was at a wedding in St. Louis when that comeback down was happening.
Yeah.
Oh, that was beautiful.
To answer your question about Garoppolo, I think you got to pursue it. I think if you're Cleveland, it's too good to be true to not pursue.
If you're Jimmy, you're just
going to gloss over that?
I am.
You're just going to gloss over that?
It's too good.
I thought that was really good, Clint.
Thanks, bud.
Get out of here.
Thanks,
got you,
bud. Keep that. Go ahead and record that or pull that, whatever you call it. Mark that.
You don't get good. You don't get like – He'll, it drops that put you in a
my
positive
dude, my
light.
Dude will find a way to use.
Unless you're doing it about yourself.
It's too good to be true not to pursue. He'll find a way to use that. Look, I mean, the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, the 49ers got to work with me. If I'm a Cleveland Browns, I'm definitely calling. I'm definitely doing my due diligence. And look, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm damn sure listening. Go play 11 solid football games with an unbelievable supporting cast and then become a free agent and make whatever, you know, sign you a hell of a deal moving forward. You sign a much. You go play well in Cleveland. You're gonna sign a much bigger deal than you would sign right now after getting booted by Trey Lance in San Francisco. I believe anyway. The thing is San Francisco's got to play ball here. Like San Francisco can't demand a third round pick or a second round pick in a trade just because they think Cleveland's between a rock and a hard place. If that's the case, I'd tell San. If I were Cleveland, I'd tell San Francisco to kick rocks, right? If you know they've got to be willing to accept some pretty low draft capital, if I'm being honest, and they've got to be willing to pay a good chunk of the $25+ million that they owe Jimmy Garoppolo at this point in time. But I would damn sure see if San Francisco is are they really interested in moving Jimmy, or are they blowing smoke? I'd damn sure find out. Yes.
Well, I think they're interested in moving him. I mean, they keep saying, they've said out loud, well, he'd probably be, Kyle Shanahan said he'd be traded if he wasn't injured.
Yeah.
He'd be,
yeah.
I think it's something, because I this would be great for Texans fans, but I could see with Jacoby, I could see this getting away from him to where Deshaun's coming, you know, in week 13 and this thing gets away from him. Because when Jacoby came in with the Dolphins, and I think they got better talent than the Dolphins last year, but the Dolphins had a really good defense and a pretty good run game, and they had, you know, Waddle out there, some weapons, and a good tight end. They were like 1-7. They went on their run with Tua when Tua came back in and took the gig. Like, I could see – we saw Jacoby Brissett up close and personal. I mean, they turned the ball over 4 or 5 times, the Dolphins did, against the Texans. So – I don't know. I think they got to kind of get serious a little bit about potentially looking at Jimmy G if they want to still be in contention by the time Deshaun.
I think they damn sure got to pick the phone up, man. You can't just they got too good of a squad to just fold up shop for the season because of Deshaun Watson's 11-game suspension. I think they've got to they can position themselves I would think fairly nicely for Deshaun Watson's return. With a Jimmy Garoppolo type of player, I don't know that Jacoby Brissett's gonna get you there. I'll say this: I don't hate Jacoby Brissett.
I hope you don't hate him.
I don't hate him in Cleveland. I don't hate the idea of him playing. But can he get better? Can the Cleveland Browns get better? If it's a good deal, if it's a win for the Browns, can the Browns get better by going and getting Jimmy Garoppolo? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. I try to think of what kind of mark they need to be at to feel good. I guess if they're just within striking distance of the – that's what I would think their goal is. Can we just get into the tournament, as Herm Edwards would say? And does Jacoby Brissett get them in that space where they can have a chance to finish the thing off with Deshaun coming up? All right, the Astros, they are putting it on the White Sox. We'll see if this game ends by the time – we get going, but man, even though they're playing really well, it may be rock bottom for a player for the Astros. This is embarrassing as hell. We'll tell you what that is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.